Our scripture
for this morning is the Beatitudes in Luke, which are quite different than the ones in Matthew. The ones in Matthew are very sweet, for the most part. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Listen for Luke's version. Luke chapter 6. Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place, with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They'd come to hear him and be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured, and all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. He looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people even hate you and exclude you and revile you and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when people speak well of you, for that's what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. People didn't usually say "bless you" to me when I was a child, because that's what we did when you sneezed. And when you sneeze, somebody would say, "Bless you." And the mindset goes back to, it's a German, Gesundheit is German. And the idea was that when you sneezed, your soul was open to being possessed by demons. Now, you think that's funny, but if you pay attention, people who are sneezing end up often getting sick, which they thought was driven by demons. In Haiti, the clothing is phenomenally clean, because the idea was that if you didn't keep clean clothes, the demons from voodoo would get you. And oddly enough, people who kept clean clothes didn't get as sick. Bless you. That was okay when you sneezed. But now people say it all the time. Have a blessed day. They didn't read these. Blessings are what we as Americans generally think of as very positive sort of things. The good things that you want to have happen. Winning the lottery. Getting money back on my tax return. There's a lot of people who expected more this year for their tax return, but they're not getting it, and now they're going to be mad at somebody. So who cursed me? Because blessings, you get money. Cursings is you lose it. The other day I went to the grocery store, and I was in line, and the lady that comes to the register next said, "Okay, I'll take one of you over here," and I got to go food, and we just like zoom. And she was back from break. Highly caffeinated, man, we cranked it out. Didn't even ask me how I was doing, because, you know, fine is all you're going to get, and then you move on. But I felt blessed, because it went so well. And that's the grocery store line. Take it a little personally when I drive in traffic in Atlanta, and I get stuck. What did I do to deserve this? And then somebody will explain to me how physics works. But that's... I called down to the Duval Home, which was a place we had volunteered and done some. It's a home for mentally and physically challenged adults. And tornadoes had come through Florida, and I called and said, "You know, did you get any damage?" And they said, "No, we're fine. God blessed us. But the people across town didn't do so well." You think about the alternative to that one? Blessings and the woes. In Super Bowl LXI 2006, the Indianapolis Colts and the Chicago Bears played for the championship. A fellow from Tennessee played in that game. You may have heard of him. So after they won, Tony Dungy, the coach, talked about how they'd won it in Jesus' way. That was nice. Made me think, though, about the quarterback for the Bears, Rex Grossman, who probably didn't feel blessed because he fumbled three snaps, I think, or the second or third snap, and the paper referred to him as good Rex in the first quarter, bad Rex in the second, and train Rex by the fourth. I wonder if they would say, you know, I was doing great, if you ask Rex. I was doing great until Jesus made me drop the ball. You don't ever think about the flip side to that, blessings and curses or blessings and woes. Pat Robertson made a lot of money promising that if you donated to his ministry, God would give you a blessing. And I was watching Pat Robertson one night because I was bored, and he said that he gave a story of somebody who paid $100,000 for a $200,000 house, and that God had blessed them. Well, what about the people who were selling the house? Did they just not have a realtor? What was the deal? You don't think about the other side. And then we come to this, blessed are you are poor, blessed are you are hungry, blessed are you weep, blessed when people hate you. But that's not how we think about blessings. I want you to imagine that you go to see a financial planner early in the day, and the financial planner takes your income and your expenses and says, you know, if you continue, and shows you these nice little graphs and pie charts and things, says, you know, if you continue on this track that you're on, within 20 years, you'll be destitute and lose it all. That's without a major illness. And so you go, well, some of you 20 years, you may be, yeah, no problem. But for some of us, that would be scary. So we are a wide congregation. So you go home and you're laying in bed just staring at the darkness. And you cry out to the ceiling, what am I going to do? As if it was a prayer and God answers you. And God says, you never have to worry about money. And you just feel calm. God says to you, speaks, you're my beloved child like Jesus is my beloved child. As I took care of Jesus, I will take care of you. And then you go to church because you think, well, and I got a little something in the offer plate for you today, buddy. And you go in there and you're sitting there, and then the pastor stands up and reads this, blessed are you who are poor, woe to you who are rich. And then goes on to tell a story about Jesus, and a guy comes to him and says, hey, I will follow you wherever you're going. And Jesus says, yep, but you just need to know, I'm not going to any place. I got nowhere to lay my head. Foxes have holes, birds have nests, but you just need to know, I'm houseless. And that guy goes away. Jesus was houseless. And you think to yourself, what if I don't have to worry about money? Because I won't ever have any. What if I don't have to worry about money? Because like Jesus, I'll die young. Well, that changed everything. God, who called Jesus his beloved child, will take care of you. But it doesn't mean it won't be painful. It doesn't mean it won't be difficult. It doesn't mean that you won't struggle. In seminary, we deal with deep theological questions. You know, deep theological questions about like what happened with Jesus and what did Jesus really know? Did he know he was the Son of God? I mean, before he could speak, did he know, or did he at some point just learn it? And the question that nobody ever asked me dawned on me when I was writing this sermon. I wonder if Jesus knew he was poor. He was obviously poor, but did he know it? You ever think about that? Did he know he's poor? And how do you feel about it? Because by our definition, he's poor. Now, we'll tell you this. It's kind of interesting that Kayla is going to have a challenge when she comes back. Because, see, nobody in Morocco, well, not nobody, but some people do, but most people don't have cars. She walks about 5 miles a day, but she gets anywhere she wants to go. She walks down and gets a cab. She walks down and gets on a bus. I mean, a cab is not, it's like a small bus. It's not like your cab or your Uber. You get in there with, you know, however many people they can squeeze in there or chicken or whatever, but you know, and then they drive you. But she never lacks for transportation. So because she doesn't have a car, she's not technically poor in Morocco, but when she comes back to the United States, she will be poor because she won't be able to go anywhere. You can walk 5 miles from our house and still be nowhere. And likely get hit doing it because they're going, what are you doing walking? So she's not poor without a car in Morocco. She'll be poor here. Blessed are you who are poor. See,
part of this labeling things is we think there are things we have to have, and that's where we get stuck. I'm going to go meet with a church in Athens who the main church left the denomination, the big they got the building and everything, and this group got cash. So, small number of people, lots of cash. And anxiety is the dizziness of freedom. And so I said, hey, I've been there. Now I'm on the other side. We have what we thought we had to have. Churches have to have an address. Churches have to have buildings. Churches have to have a gym. When you don't know what you're doing, then you'll either follow tradition or trend. We'll do what other people are doing, or we'll do what we've always done. The difference is in with the ones that I encounter in Haiti is the church has to have a purpose. If you don't know why you're there, then you just shouldn't be there. If you're not feeding people in Haiti where people are hungry, then you're not really a church. And oddly enough, with our ministry in Haiti, people keep giving us buildings. It's just really strange. What do you think you have to have? Well, what you have to have is a purpose. And about these blessings and the woes, I'm going to tell you this. Two words. Lighten up. It's a dead-end street. Jesus is messing with you, as Jesus typically does. Jesus stands at the door and knocks. If you open it, he'll come in. But if you don't open it, he'll kick it in. So you just might as well get ready. And so when he gets you to label these things like this, and label what you think is the opposite, blessed are you when you're poor, when you don't want to label it like that, is to get you to quit labeling everything. It's to just lighten up and relax a little bit. To let it go. And on the front cover is a picture, and one of those hands is somebody I know. His name is Michael. And I met Michael 3 years ago, and I stay in touch with Michael. And I told Michael, and you can decide whichever one you think looks like a male hand or a Haitian's hand. Michael, I met, and I told him this week, I said, you know, I want to be like you when I grow up, if I grow up. And he just thought that was the funniest thing. But it's not funny at all. A couple years ago, I think it was on our trip, we were riding with Michael, and Michael was telling me, he says, you know, Michael's in the 13th grade now, and I know that sounds strange to you, that you would have 13 grades. They're backwards in Haiti. See, they don't start with K. They start with 1 for your first year in school. And I know that sounds strange, but that's why you have 13 years. So Michael's in year 13, and he said, you know, I'm trying to decide, do I want to work and make money, or do I want to try and do something for God? Or how does that work? He grew up in an orphanage in Haiti, and I'm not the person to ask that question. But I just nod a lot. And so Michael said a couple weeks ago, he said, you know, I grew up in an orphanage, and I was feeling bad about that. Didn't have parents. And the orphanage is now closed, and now he's staying with us as part of the organization and helping out. Michael translates for doctors and other folks and has for a few years now because his English is so strong. And his brother James lives there with him, and they help run the little house where people stay. And he said, you know, I used to be bothered by that growing up in an orphanage, but I said, you know what, people love me. And how I feel about life is my choice. How I feel about my life is my choice. And what Michael does is he and James make bracelets and then they sell them to people. Because you can sell anything in Haiti. You don't have to have a store or a license. You just go out and sell it. And the name of James and Michael's company is Bell V. I said, Michael, I asked him this week, I said, what does that mean? He said, beautiful life. Michael doesn't label it like that. There's some things that are hard, some things that are easy, some are laughing, some is crying. It's the whole spectrum. You can't split it out. That's why Jesus takes you down this path, and so you'll get over trying to go down this path. That knowledge of good and evil is not yours to attain. It's what God says it is. So even Friday, when Jesus is crucified and dies painfully, it can be Good Friday because God says so. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. God, there are challenges that we have that we wish we did not. There are joys that we have that we wish would last forever. But that's not the way it works for us. But help us to see the beauty and help us to drink from the cup fully, the wide range of experiences that we have, each to our own, are all very particular to us. But God, the struggle to be faithful, that we have in common. And that's why we've come, and that's why we've gathered, and that's why we lift our voices, praying as we were taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and glory forever.